Father, worship you. Father, we're just so, and just coming to your house as we seek to glorify you in song and just adore you, Lord, adore you, that you truly inhabit the praises of your people, that you meet with us and minister to our hearts. And Father, we try to give you praise and you just give us, Lord, just a blessing. A blessing. And so, Father, as you've met with us in worship, meet with us through your word, simply give us ears to hear what your Spirit would speak to us, your church. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, saints, if you would, please open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. When you're in Galatians, track down to chapter 6 and then get to verse 2. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 is our text for this evening as we continue through this incredible book. Now, keep in mind, as we've been going through Galatians, we've just kind of made a note, just a kind of a mental note as we're going through it, as far as the simplicity of its outline, because Galatians is simply into three sections. The first section we covered, I don't know, it's so long ago, I couldn't tell you when we started this book, but it's been a while. But when we first started, we noted that the first two chapters are basically very personal. And so we've understood how this is where Paul is defending his own authority as an apostle. He's also defending the gospel that he's proclaiming, saying, listen, me as an apostle and the gospel that I'm proclaiming did not come from me, did not come from men. It came from God. And so Jesus Christ called me. It's Jesus' gospel. This is the authority, not me. And then as he went from that personal, he then moved on to the doctrinal when we were in chapters 3 and 4. As we're in 3 and 4, we looked at the doctrinal issues where Paul would simply say, listen, you have to understand this justification by faith, the gospel that I'm proclaiming, isn't something new. It's not a contradiction to the Old Testament. It's a fulfillment to the Old Testament. And so what Paul did is he went doctrinally, he went into the Old Testament and he validate what we're saying through Scripture, through the Spirit, open up what God says on any subject, and we look to the Word to validate what we should believe in and what we should, you know, how we should think on these subjects. So we saw him go into that doctrinal issue on justified by faith. And now we're in this last section. We're in the practical. Now we're in this area where he's defending the Christian liberty that we have. Now, within this Christian liberty that we have, the question is, okay, so you have this liberty, what do you do? And within these areas of what we do, we realize that within this liberty that we have, we don't use this liberty to sin, but we do use this liberty to walk in the Spirit. And now we've been learning a little bit about what it actively means to walk in the Spirit. So when we were here on Sunday, we looked at Galatians 6:1, where if a man is overtaken in trespass, you who are spiritual, seek to restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So we looked at that passage about literally, you know, a desire to restore. And now we're shifting just the next step over, not just a desire to store, not just lifting them up, but now holding them up, actively restoring them. Because once you have this, when you see a man overtaken in a trespass, now you seek to restore. In other words, a desire to restore. But now, in verse 2, now you bear one another's burdens. Do you understand? You bear one another's burdens, and so you fulfill the law of Christ. So what we're seeing here tonight is this moving to the next step. There's one is a desire to lift someone up, but now it's lifting them up. One is a desire to restore, and then you actively restore. So what we're seeing tonight basically in this verse is this. If you want a title for the message, love in action. That's all this is. It's love in action. And so it's fulfilling the law of Christ, and we understand that one law that he gives us is that what? Love one another as I have loved you. So keep in mind that as we look to this, it's an important verse to kind of set a foundation to really what it is that we're looking to. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 17, it's an amazing passage because it makes this statement. He says, a friend loves at all time and a brother is born for adversity. And so it simply says, listen, you've got to understand that what we see is this. A friend loves at all times. And so the answer is this, how do you love? How do you love when I'm overwhelmed? How do you love when I'm going through it? And so we recognize that this whole area is what? Well, there's a desire to restore, and now we bear one another's burdens. The term burden literally means that you're overwhelmed with something. It's too much more than you can handle. The weight is too great for you. And so when you bear one another's burdens, what we do is this. We seek to what? We seek to lift the weight off of them. We seek to take part of that and walk with them. And so as we go through this, keep in mind that the bear means an actively removing, actively lifting up. And so you could call it this way, supporting. Very simply, that's what you do. You support your brother, you support your sister while they are being overwhelmed, while they're in a place where a burden is greater than them, greater than they can handle. And so it's so neat that God says, well, where two or more are there, you know, and so that when you have just one, hey, I'll tell you what, it's better to have two. Because when one is down, someone can help them out. Someone can come alongside. And that's why I think it's so important to recognize that this friend loves at all times. And this is what we're going to see here, that you're fulfilling the law of Christ. That law is what? It's love. And so this friend loves, and especially how do you actively love during a time of someone being overwhelmed? How do you love during a time of just someone who literally is just weighted down with a bear? You're literally supporting. The term literally means it's mutual. It means together. When it's one another, it's this mutual idea. It's a together idea. Keep in mind that it's what? It's a contradiction to self. It's not just loving me now, do you understand? Which we do really easy. I find it easy to love me. I just love it harder when other people come into my little world. But when we have this, keep in mind, it's so easy to what? To love self. But he says what? Love one another. So it's a mutual thing. So in other words, what? You just love what? Others as you love yourself. It's the same thing that you come to this point, you think about yourself, you want to minister to yourself, and now he says, no, think about others. Think about ministering to others. And especially what? During the time of them being overwhelmed. And this is where it's important to really recognize what this means when it comes to bearing one another's burdens. Because within this bearing, we understand it's this active thing. It's actively lifting, actively supporting, and it means this mutual together. But the burden itself means it's a weight or a load. What it determines, that there's a weight on me, a load on me, and I can't bear that anymore. I'm overwhelmed by it. And as I'm overwhelmed by it, I need someone to help take that load off. I need someone to kind of remove that burden because it's just too much for me. Now I'm overwhelmed. Now it's too much. And so we're able to bear one another's burdens. We're able to lift up a weight that someone else is being weighed down with. And so fulfill. Fulfill. It means to complete. It means to accomplish. So when you are lifting up and bearing one another's burdens, you're accomplishing and you're completing the law of Christ. And of course, we've looked at that law of Christ where the law is simply what? It's love. A new commandment I give unto you. Love one another as I have loved you. So we understand that this law of Christ is simply love. So when you are literally bearing one another's burdens, when you're actively lifting up mutually together these people's weight that is burdening them down, you're accomplishing love. And I think that's the most amazing thing about this passage. It simplifies. And so as we look to this, keep in mind that this bearing is in the Greek. The so often within the Greek, there are tenses within the Greek, and this one here is a present imperative. So if you're a note taker, you can jot it down. This word bearing is a present imperative. It means to do this continually. It means to do this habitually. It means to do this long term. So you understand what bearing one another's burdens is? It's not like, hey, I'm going to give you a call and then I'm going to forget you. Or I'm going to say a prayer for you and then I'm going to forget you. But it means continually praying, continually ministering. So when God has given you this calling, when God has given you the direction, I think it's so important to recognize that what this means is a person continually what? Taking that burden off, coming alongside and not taking it away, but coming alongside and carrying them while they're carrying that burden. And so it's just so important that we're taking off the load. And so I love the heart of this, because it's not just this passive sympathy. It's not a passive empathy. But what we're looking at is this active effort, this active action that goes into how can I help you through this time? How can I help you with this? And so when we're bearing these burdens, the burden is something that's oppressive, something that's heavy, something that is literally overwhelming us. And so I think it's so important, because there's a passage that is kind of the converse of what we're looking at. And so if you want to just jot this down, because I think it's so important to see what we are doing versus what we shouldn't be doing, because in Matthew chapter 23, verse 4, let me just share it with you. Jesus is speaking of the religious leaders. He's speaking about the scribes and the Pharisees. And he says this in Matthew 23, verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens. Do you understand? They're not lifting up the burdens. They're not sharing the burdens. They're binding heavy burdens, hard to bear. In other words, they're just weighting people down. And it says this. And they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move with them one of their fingers. You understand? I'm going to put this upon you, but I'm not even going to use one finger to lift off the burden. And this is what here the religious do. They have no problem seeing you with a burden, but they have no issue, no desire to help you with that. It's exactly the opposite, as we'll see in time, of who Jesus Christ is. He bears what? He bears everyone's burden. He bears the sin of the world. And so I love the fact that we even lift a finger, not even a finger. And what we are called to do is to do what? We're kind of called to share. How much of it can I pick up? Now, keep in mind, I'm not going to pick it all up. We're going to see that in a moment. But I am going to seek to do what? I am going to seek to bear your burden. As I'm called by God, I want to do that. So I recognize that the love of Christ calls me to do what? To bear another person's burden, to come alongside in a system in whichever way I can to lighten the load, whether it is spiritually, emotionally, physically, other needs that are there. I think it's important to begin to see this. Now, one of the things that I do want to share with you is this, that when it comes to bearing the burdens, two things that you need to make a note of. The first in bearing the burdens is actually a passage found in the book of James chapter 5, verse 16, and it simply says this, pray for one another. I think it's important that when you see a need, here's the important thing, pray for that person. And it's imperative that you pray initially, that's the first thing. See, a lot of times we don't even pray, like, hey, I've got you covered. I already know everything about this. I can tell you what to do here. I can tell you what to do there. And I can give you all this wisdom on how to handle it yourself. And that's not what God calls. It's coming alongside and just being with them while they're going through that burden to seek to lighten the load. And I think it's so important that the first thing we do is what? We pray for one another. And so pray for them. The other thing that I think is important too, and what was interesting is this was going to be in the last half of the study, but this afternoon, God just kind of got a hold of my head and got a hold of my heart and says, you need to put this in first. And the reason I'm putting this in ahead of time is because I want you to see a reality when it comes to bear one another's burdens. The second thing, after you pray for them, is just as important. In James chapter 1, verse 5, he says this, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. And then I think it's important, pray for yourself. When you see a brother, when you see a sister, when you see someone who's overwhelmed, when you see someone who's burdened, you need to pray for them. But here's the key. Now you need to pray for yourself. You need to pray for wisdom. You need to pray for insight. You need to pray for God to give you direction. And I think the reason why it's so important to ask and pray for me and to pray for wisdom, because a lot of times when it comes to these burdens, I have to ask God this, am I your choice or am I their choice or if I'm my choice. You see, I don't want to be second best. I don't want God to have someone that he's working, that he wants to put in their life, and me thinking, no, you don't understand. I'm the one that you need to talk to. And so when it comes to bearing burdens, you need to, one, be praying for them. Have your heart. Now you need to ask God, and I know I want to help. I know they want me to help, but the real question is, are you calling me to help? Because I'll be honest with you, so often we just jump right into something, we see a need, and we don't even pray for wisdom. We don't pray for insight. Well, I'll pray for them, and then but I know how to fix it. I've already got a clue on what to do. And so when it comes to this, I think it's so important that when you're asking God, should I do it? Do they want me to do it? One of the keys that I've noted when it comes to answered prayer for me personally is in Colossians 3:15 when he says this, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. See, I'll know when I'm called, because sometimes I need you to do this. I need you to fix this. It's like, wait a second. I just don't have the peace of God that says he's calling me to do this. And so I'll be praying for you and I'll be praying with you. And if he does call me, then I'll have God's peace and I'll step forward and I will begin to just pour in and bear that burden. But if he's not calling me, then I can't be that person. And so I think it's so important to recognize that sometimes the work is for others. Sometimes it's not for me to do. Sometimes, in all honesty, that the work is way far beyond me, and I can't be the one to do that. Two passages I want to just share with you, just so you kind of have an idea of just what we're looking at. There's a passage in Exodus chapter 18. In Exodus chapter 18, beginning in verse 13, all the way down to verse 26. So Exodus 18, verses 13 through 26, that we begin to see a powerful, powerful example of really what we're talking about. There's this point, and we're in Exodus 18, verse 13, that all of a sudden, that Moses' father-in-law, he comes to visit. And as he comes to visit, eventually in verse 13, it says this, and so it was the next day that Moses sat to judge the. So when Moses' father-in-law saw what that he did for the people, he said, what is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. And when they have difficulty, they come to me and I judge between one and another and I make known the statutes of God and his laws. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, this thing that you do is not good. Do you understand? Well, I got it covered. He said, wait, you really don't have it covered, Moses. You're sitting there, yes. And you're giving advice, yes. But these people are standing from morning to evening. You're sitting, they're standing, they're shuffling up, and there's no way that you've got this all covered. You're going to deal with a portion, but you're not doing it. So he says, this thing that you're doing is not good. Verse 18, both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out, for this thing is too much for you, and you're not able to perform it by yourself. You understand that Moses cannot see that he's wearied. He doesn't see the people are wearied. But someone who's looking outside in does. And so often when we look to ourselves and our ability, but I'm accomplishing this, Yeah, you're accomplishing something, but honestly, you're not as effective as you could be because God has called you to what? Maybe something different. And so when we look to this, he says, now, verse 19, now listen to my voice and I'll give you counsel and God be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God, and you shall teach them the statutes of law and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be of 10, and let them judge the matter they shall bring to you. But every small matter they themselves shall judge. And it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. Do you understand? You're overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed. And what happens is this, is that, you don't want to just overwhelm somebody else now. So he says, I think it's so important. Think about what is good to do. You should have some people have be over tens. In other words, you're going to have one guy in this family. He'll deal with 10 people's issues. And he'll be the one, but he's spirit-led. He hates covetousness. He loves truth. And so the Spirit of God will be on him. And so he'll be over the tens. And so then you have basically five of those people will be over, another person will be five over those five people who are over the tens. And so you have people who are over the tens, and then you have those leaders go to someone else, and they'll be over the 50s. And then you have, after that, then you have what? You have two of those, and they'll be over the hundreds, and then you have those 10 of those, and they'll be over the thousands. And then, so you have all of it covered. Now, if it's something that the 10 can't handle, and then he'll go to the 50, and he'll go to the 100, he'll go to the 1,000. If they can't have, then they'll come to you. But do you realize that you're going to have a whole day that's free other than what? Other than when you're called, when you're needed. And so he was burdened, and he said, you need to share this burden. Others have to come alongside. And but I want you to see, this is really key. In verse 23, he says this, if you do this thing and God so commands, if you do this thing and God so commands you, verse 23, then you'll be able to endure. And all this people will also go to their place in peace. Do you understand? There's chaos right now, Moses. And I know you're fixing this, and he doesn't have chaos for this moment, but you don't understand. He's been standing in line for a week before he finally gets up to you, and this isn't good. And so understand that I think it's so important. So you have to recognize when God calls you and when God doesn't call you. And so when he calls you, step up. If he doesn't call you, then what? Then you're allowed to step back. And so I think it's so important when it comes to the reality, know what? What God has called you to do. Ask wisdom. Ask him, what is your will for me? Because when there's a need, what do we want? We just want to fix the need. Now, keep in mind, New Testament truth as well, there in the book of Acts chapter 1, and you know this passage, when they raised up the deacons in verse 1, in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. So all of a sudden, these elderly ladies that had no family, they needed what? They needed ministry. As they needed ministry, guess what? There was no one to take care of them. And so they brought this information to the disciples. And all of a sudden, then verse 12, the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, listen, it's not desirable that we should leave the word to serve tables. Do you understand that all of a sudden they recognize, listen, I know there's a need. We're praying for this need, but I do recognize if I sought God for wisdom, I know this. I'm not the one to meet that need. He's called me to meet it in a different way. We'll continue to pray, but I think it's so important. He says it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Do you understand that they had a different calling to minister to the needs of these widows? One of it is this, that we want to raise up godly men. We want to raise up men full of the Holy Spirit. We want to raise up men of good reputation so that when we put these a spirit, that they are full of love, that they have a right mind, a right heart, and they have this compassion. But I know what I'm called to do. I know what I'm not called to do. And so keep in mind that sometimes God is going to call you to pray, but not to act. And when it comes to the needs, so often we think that I'm the one that God has to do. They came to me, and be careful about that. So those two things are so important. Pray for them. The next thing is pray for yourself to make sure, God, are you calling me to do this or are you not calling me to do this? Now, there's another issue that you have when it comes to people and their needs. And I hate to say this, but I do want to share this truth with you because some people are just lazy and they want you to do all the heavy lifting. They want you to do this. Hey, listen, I got this issue. I need you to fix this. I need you to fix that. And they don't want to do the work. And so they want everyone else to do the work, and they don't want to do any of it themselves. And so there's a passage I just want to share it with you in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13. And what happens is this. As Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he makes a statement. He says this, "For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened." Do you understand? When you're coming alongside and God has called you to meet and God's called you to minister and God's called you to help lift this burden, it doesn't mean that you do all the lifting and they now sit back and watch you. And a lot of times this is what happens. That you have people in society that they want everyone else to do the lifting, and I just want to sit back and watch you do the lifting. And that's not what God ever intends. He intends what? For you to come alongside and partner with them. For you to come alongside and remember now, this is supporting. It's not taking over. It's not taking control. It's supporting. And so when it comes to someone to assist them, they want someone to take over for them. And so when they have a need, they don't want to do anything themselves. I need you to fix this. I need you to fix that. I need you to do this. And I'm just going to sit back and let you do it. And there's some people who are just so wanting to prove their Christianity and so wanting to prove that they have the love of Christ that they're going to do it all. And what they're doing is they're just being used. So be careful of that, because what Paul makes that statement, he says, listen, you have to understand, I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened. It means what? It means that they can have some of it off, but they still have to do what? They still have to carry part of the load. They still have to walk with you. It's not you taking over that burden for them. And so I think it's important that when we see the reality of just what it is that God desires, because there is a reality, and we'll see this in a couple of weeks, but in Galatians chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "For each one shall bear his own load." He's talking about these burdens, and so what? I have a load that I have to carry, and you'll have a load that you have to carry. When we come alongside, guess what? We're each going to carry part of it. But what I've done is this. I've taken that which is overwhelming you, and now I've taken enough away that what? Now you can walk it. Now you can carry it and not be overwhelmed. Now you can carry it, and you won't be alone. And so I'm not taking it all, but I am taking a part so that what we can partner with each other, glorify God, and then watch him work and watch him move. So I think it's important that there is this thing that we say in our own culture. It's called personal responsibility, that when it's my burden, I do need to take part of that responsibility. But when I'm overwhelmed, praise God that I have people who will come alongside and say, listen, let me not take it all, but let me walk with you and take part of this, that I could ease it while you're on this journey, while you're seeking to glorify God. Because portion some of it off. Keep in mind that Moses, what? He still did the important ones, the really big things, but the day-to-day, the little stuff is like, others can handle that. And I love what the disciples, we're still going to pray. We're still going to give ourselves to the word, and we're still going to look, but when it comes to the simple waiting on the tables, we need seven other men to come alongside and assist us with that. So I just think it's so important that when it comes to the reality of what, when you're seeing this portion that we're looking at, and when it says, bear one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ, that one is this, sometimes it's not your burden to bear. And that's why you have to, after praying for them, you pray for yourself, you seek wisdom. God, are you calling me to do this? Are you not? Because some burdens, you're the second best. Some burdens, you shouldn't be the one to do so. And when it comes to this area of the burdens and how you deal with it, keep in mind that there's this beautiful passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is where Paul is trying to speak to them. And he makes a statement as far as the reality of the ministries that we have with the Lord. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he declares this, beginning in verse 4, he says this, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation, verse 7, of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So all of a sudden, there's a need. And then I have to ask God very simply is this, are you going to supply me the gift to meet it? Because if you don't supply me the gift, guess what? It's not going to be of you. And there's so often that we have a tendency to think, I'm so gifted in this area, let me do this. Well, Spirit that manifests this gift. And then in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 12, he makes this declaration. He says, for one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as he wills. See, keep in mind that if I have a need and I'm in this place of being overwhelmed, that God is going to equip someone or a group to say, listen, God has gifted us to come alongside just to share this burden. You can't do it all. Do you understand? When I'm up here, I can't make sure that the cameras are working. I can't make sure that the audio is okay. I can't make sure that the heat is not, you know, not too hot, not too cold. I can't do those things from the pulpit. Praise God, there are brothers and sisters that will come alongside and say, listen, let me take care of that for you. Because you can't do that from the pulpit. And so while you're doing one ministry, let us take care of another ministry that what that the entire body can be ministered to. So when it comes to this, I think it's so important to recognize that God is going to give certain people certain gifts. And that's what verse 11 is, the same Spirit who works all these things, he distributes to each one individually as he wills. He doesn't give everyone the same gift. He gives one person one gift, another person another gift. And so what happens is within the body, everyone has what? We all have gifts that we do that builds up the entire the body. And I love that heart, because when it comes to the burdens, a lot of times we're overwhelmed. And what God is going to do is he's going to just supply one person a gift. And that gift is going to be for maybe just a season. And then he's going to supply someone else that gift. And they're going to be called. And so when it comes to the reality, I just love the fact that he is going to give different people different gifts. And so the question is this. If God calls you, and I do mean if, this is why I made that statement, pray for wisdom. God, are you calling me to call you? Then this is what we can do. Now we can set up some guidelines to answer this passage for us. So the first thing is bear one another's burdens doesn't mean that you're the one to call to bear everyone's burdens. That's not what it is. But if God calls you, now the rest of the message is for you. The rest of the message is kind of how do I have these guidelines in what I'm called to do? One of the things that we do is this. You need to identify the type of burden. There are different burdens that we have and different passages that God will give you. So regardless of the burden, there's going to be different burdens that someone has in different parts of their life. But I think what's important is this. When you recognize what kind of burden it is, here's the key. Make sure that you're equipped to minister. Because some things you don't want to minister, or they don't need you to minister, or you're not equipped to minister. If God hasn't gifted you, if you don't understand exactly what this burden is, be careful, because so often that there are people who are in haven't even been healed from their own emotional baggage, and now they try to tell me how to pack my bags. And they haven't even been healed of theirs. So can you imagine that here's someone that has been, you know, just wounded and is angry and is bitter, and now they're trying to counsel you? But what's their spirit? Well, they're still angry, they're still bitter, they're still broken. And when you're at that place and you haven't been healed, you cannot begin to bear someone else's burden. What you need is this. Have someone come and help me heal still. I need this. I can't be reaching out when I'm empty in this. And I think it's so important. Make sure that you are equipped to minister, which is why we were talking about the gifts of the Spirit. The Spirit is going to gift you. And so there's some things that I think that you're there to call and to minister, and other things that I think that you should not be ministering to. There's a passage I want to share it with you, just found in verse 2. he makes this declaration. And so Job's friends are coming alongside and they're trying to bear his burden initially. But what happens is this, they start off well. But then the problem is they open their mouth. Now, before they open their mouth, they are spot on. They have a heart to comfort. They have a heart to bear his burden. They have all that thing. And so they sit and they say nothing. And everything's fine. But then they open their mouth. And that's where everything begins to digress. And what happens is this. From chapter 2, as soon as they begin to speak, until chapter 38, God does something amazing. He gives a commentary on the dialogue. So in chapter 38, verse 2, he says this, "Who is this who darkens counsel with words without knowledge?" Who is this who darkens counsel? You're not sharing my heart. You're sharing your heart. You're sharing what you want, but you are literally darkening counsel by words without knowledge. You really have no business sharing what you're sharing. You shouldn't be doing this. And I think it's so important to recognize, just because you may have a little bit of a clue of, hey, I've done this or I've done that. There are some people who have enough knowledge in one thing to make them dangerous. They don't understand the full picture. They understand a little bit. Like when a young child, like my grandkids, they see me steering the truck with the steering wheel. They don't really understand that I'm doing brakes, I'm doing gas, I'm doing reverse, I'm doing neutral, I'm doing forward. They don't understand all that. But all they know is, hey, just let me drive. Poppy, I can do this. Well, it's okay. Well, you can kind of steer when my hands are on the steering wheel and my feet's on the gas pedal, and I'm the one that is moving the shift lever, because all we're going to do is we're going to move from the driveway to the road. Well, we can do that, but understand, you don't drive yet. But they think, I know how to drive. Well, you know how to steer with my hands on the wheel. That's what you know how to do. So when it comes to this, I think it's just so important. Be careful, because there are a lot of times where where you're not equipped truly to minister. The Spirit hasn't gifted you. One of the things that I think is important when it comes to the whole issue of ministry, when it comes to this issue of just what it is that God desires from us and what he doesn't, there's a passage, jot it down, because I think this is so important when it comes to ministry, that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, he says this. He's talking about basically about God, the God of all comfort, and he says this in verse 4, "The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God." Here's a great thing. If you're called to ease the burden, and I have some qualities and qualifications of doing this, is what? God's already walked me through this. And what I've seen is this. As I've gone through this, God has brought others alongside to comfort me. And what they do is this. They tell me what? God has it under control. Do you understand what you're doing in comforting? You're pointing to Jesus. That's really what you're doing. And this is the key to really bearing one another's burdens. Is that what you're doing is this. You say, I'm holding Jesus' hand. You hold my hand while I'm holding Jesus' hand, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to put yours and Jesus' hand together. And then you're going to recognize he is faithful to do this. He is going to accomplish all that. And so when we look to this, I think it's so important to recognize what the heart of God is. And so as God begins to move on this, we begin to see this is the key. I'm going to be able to comfort you. I'm going to be able to bear the burden with what? In the same way that God has brought about to ease my burden. So what I can do is this. I can tell you one thing. God is faithful. Jesus will be your answer, and he is going to move. And I can tell you that he's going to move. Why? Because he was faithful to move in my life. And it's one of those things where sometimes we don't know why it happens, but when it does happen, God says this, the reason I brought you through this is because I'm going to use you to tell people of my faithfulness when they're wondering, I'm overwhelmed. And he says, yes, you are. I was overwhelmed too, but I'm telling you that God is going to pick you up. He's going to just take you out of that miry clay. He's going to set you upon a rock, and you're going to find out that what? He's faithful. In the same way I found out that he's faithful, you're going to find out that he's faithful. So I think this is the key when it comes to this active figuring out what ministries and what burdens they bear. Now, when it comes to the burdens, let me share with you first and foremost, the first burden that we want to look at was actually found in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, where it deals with the spiritual. There are some people who are burdened with sin. There are some people who are burdened with temptations. There are some people who are burdened with guilt. There are some people who are burdened with shame. The spiritual kind of, I'm overwhelmed. I want to get over this sin and I can't get over this sin. I keep having these temptations and I keep falling down and I feel so horrible and what do I do? Well, how do you bear it? See, this is the question, that if you have someone that's spiritually, how do you bear it? Well, I love the answer that he gives us in Galatians 6:1. You who are spiritual, restore. You don't condemn. You don't bust on them, but what you do, you seek to restore. You seek to mend. You seek to restore. You bring them back into this beautiful, intimate relationship with God. But you do so in the spirit of gentleness. Considering yourself, you don't come and say, listen, I'm here to fix you because I'm just so good at an issue in my life. But I can tell you this, that Jesus is faithful. That as you cling to him, he's gonna work in this area. And so it's so important that when you see the spiritual, the burdens that are overwhelming someone, that you do what? You seek to restore. You just bring them to the Lord in that spirit of gentleness, knowing that what? It's the goodness of God that leads man to repentance. And you can tell them, listen, you confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This is the heart of God. And so when they have that spiritual burden, let them know what? He's taken it away on the cross. All this issue, he's now given you the Holy Spirit. You're able now to walk. So the first of the burdens is spiritual. And all of us have been what? At some time or another, overwhelmed with our flesh, overwhelmed with temptations, overwhelmed with sin in our lives. We're overwhelmed with guilt. We're overwhelmed with shame. And what God does is this. He picks us up. He says, you're fine. Come sit on my lap. Come walk with me and know this. I got a plan for you. And oh man, do I have a good plan for you. And so this is the heart. And so we're able to tell others who are in that same place, God has a plan for you too. In the same way he had a plan for me, in the same way he's doing this, he's got a plan for you. So I'm going to come and I'm going to seek to ease that burden. I'm going to try to say, listen, let's put it at the cross. Let's put it at the cross. Let's put it at the cross. The next type of burden isn't the spiritual, but it's in the emotional. Within the emotionals, we all have these issues where sometimes we have these fears. Sometimes we're just grieving someone has passed. Sometimes we have these traumas, things that have happened in our life and we simply can't let it go. Other times it's just this depression. I'm just weighted down and I don't know what to do. But when someone has these emotional issues of being overwhelmed with fear, overwhelmed with grief, overwhelmed with the trauma that's happened in their life, overwhelmed with a depression that just burned down, how do you bear it? Well, I think the first thing, what they do, if they have fears, just be with them. If they are grieving, just be with them. If they have this trauma, just be with them. If they have this depression, just be with them. It's so important. Just be there. I want to share with you a passage in Numbers chapter 11. And it's just a powerful word. And the reason I want to share it with you is this. It's the recap, it's the other side of what we just looked at there in Exodus. Because in Numbers chapter 11, I just want to read a couple of verses 14 through 18, which is why I really want to show you how Moses was overwhelmed when his father-in-law came. He said, what you're doing isn't good. Because it's capped off kind of there in Numbers chapter 11. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 14, this is Moses speaking, and he says this, I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. Do you understand where he's at? I am overwhelmed. I can't do this. I look at the line and it's a line. And I don't even get a portion of it. I am overwhelmed. The burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, he says, please kill me here and now. Now, I don't know if that's emotional or not. I'm thinking it's emotional. Man, just kill me now. Don't kill me slowly. These are like the death of a thousand cuts. Just lop off my head and let me just get it over with. Kill me now. And then he says, listen, if you treat me like this, kill me here and now. If I found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. He's looking at his absolute inability to accomplish what he desires. He's overwhelmed. He is burdened beyond measure. And he's thinking, just literally, if I found favor, I don't want to have to look at just how horrible I'm handling this situation. And we're overwhelmed by them. We have grief, and we're overwhelmed by that. And then we have these traumas that have happened or are happening, and we're overwhelmed by that. And so we have this area of just, I'm broken, and I'm depressed, and I can't even think, I can't move, I can't anything. And we're overwhelmed by that. And so what I love is this. When we don't want to see our wretchedness, I don't want to see how I'm not capable of handling this. I'm just so overwhelmed, I can't handle this. And so what happens is this, in verse 16, so the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of their people, and the officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take of the spirit that is upon you, and I will put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burdens of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. This is God. Do you understand? And so what happens is that they will have the same spirit. They are the ones who are called. You are called, but you can't do it. And you need others who what? Are of the same spirit. So keep in mind that when you're seeking to counsel, what? You should be of the same spirit. When you're there to counsel the spiritual, you should be of the same spirit, knowing that what? Jesus was with me during that wretchedness of my life in the spiritual. When I had this sin, when I had the temptations, when I had the grief, and when I had this area of shame, I know how faithful he is. So you want to have what? The same spirit. I know what you're going through. And so can two walk together, what? Unless they are agreed, unless you have that same mind, that same camaraderie. And so it should be important. And so I love what he does within that. Now, when it comes to the New Testament in Romans, and this is a beautiful thing, in chapter 12, verse 15, he makes this statement, and I love what he said. He said, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Do you understand? You got to, when you're at a place, I'm going to just be with you in that emotion. I'm going to be able to experience what you're experiencing. Why? Because I've already been comforted by God, and now I'm going to comfort you with the same comfort wherein I was comforted. I can tell you that God is going to be faithful. I can tell you that God is going to be there. And so when we see the reality of just how God begins to move and how God begins to show his faithfulness, there's a passage, and I talked to you about it, and I want to kind of read it to you, because in Job chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, when Job is getting this last of the issues, and now he has the boils, he has all that, the things, he's scratching, you know, himself with the potsherds, and, you know, of course, everything has been taken away already. But in verse 11, it says this, now when Job's three friends heard of all his adversity that had come upon him, Job 2:11. Each one came from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. And they made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. This was their heart. And I think it's so important. And when they raised their eyes from afar, they did not recognize him. They lifted up their voices and they wept. Each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head towards heaven. And they sat, verse 13, down with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights. And no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. You understand? Just be there. It's so important. When you see someone is overwhelmed emotionally, just be there. Because what? A friend loves at all time. A brother's born of adversity. I think it's so important to recognize that maybe God has called you for you through that emotional burden. He showed you, I'm willing to take it. Let's lay it at the cross and know this, that God has power to walk me through this, that he's with me as I do this, that he's literally given victory over sin and all of the consequences that sin has now in the world. I have the Spirit now. And so I can walk with God, and he's going to show me how that is. So just keep in mind that sometimes there are going to be these spiritual needs. Sometimes there's going to be these emotional needs. But sometimes there's physical needs. There's just times where I'm overwhelmed. There are times when people have illness, and they're overwhelmed with it's just not going away. And they're not only are they overwhelmed with illness, but sometimes they're overwhelmed with a poverty that I can't seem to make ends meet. I can't afford food. I can't afford gas. I can't afford any of this. And so you're looking at this area, and sometimes we just have needs. And I'm overwhelmed because I have these needs, and they're not being met. And the question is, how do you bear it? How do you bear it? There's this beautiful passage, jot it down if you're a note taker, in James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, that he makes a statement. I think it's just a great way to just note how God begins to work. But he says this. In James chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, and then I'll read verse 16, but he says this, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, but you do not give them the things that they have need for, or the body, what is a profit? When someone has a physical need, how do you bear it? Do something. You actually got to act on this one now. If they have a physical need, don't just say, be warmed, be filled. I think it's so important that when it comes to that, when they have a need and God has called you to be the one to meet that need, then meet that need. Take care of that. And so when it comes to people's and their physical needs, it's sometimes when it comes to this area of illness, what do? You let them know, what I can do is this. I'm not a doctor. I can't heal you, but I can take you to the great physician. I will be praying for you. I will anoint you. I will lay hands on you. And then I will be with you while you're going through this situation. And I won't leave you. To tell you what, that he won't leave you. Why? Because I've been through that same physical, and I know this, that when you can't do anything and you're just, again, sick day after day after day, and physically you're not able to do it, I know what? I know he's faithful. And I can tell you that he's faithful, and I can walk with you, and I can lead you to him, because what he's comforted me with, now I'm going to comfort you. But I won't just tell you to be warm, be filled, but I will actually, what? I will be in your presence as you go through this. And so just as we do this, other times what the needs are financial. I hate to say it, there are sometimes all of us are in that place where, listen, I don't have the funds to do with what I need. And so how do you bear it? Well, two passages just so that for you note takers, you can jot it down. The first is found in Deuteronomy 15, verses 7. Among you, if there is among you a poor has given you of your brethren within any of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God has given you, then you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. It doesn't mean that you simply say, oh, whatever you need, I'm just going to always take care of you. That's not what we do. But we do teach them what? Well, if there's a need right now, then if God's called me to be the one to come alongside, he's provided for me. I recognize one thing, that Lord, I'm a steward of everything that you have. Whatever I have, it's not mine, it's yours. I'm a steward of it. And this is why in Matthew 5:42, he makes that statement, give to him who asks, and from you who want to borrow from you, do not turn away. It doesn't mean that when you do this, you simply just walk away, because sometimes that ministry is going to be, hey, you know what? I want to turn you on to, here's a guy that deals with just real great biblical wisdom when it comes to financial management. And so sometimes that's going to be. And then you can say, well, I can tell you that this works because I had the same issue and God was faithful in my life. And so you recognize what? That you're a steward. It isn't yours to do with what you want. It's God is going to give you exactly what you need. and you recognize what, if I'm going to do any spending, it's going to be to his glory. It's going to be him who's calling me to do this. This is going to further his kingdom. And so in that ministry of the financial, it's simply this. You got to provide. If he's called you to provide and he's given you the funds to provide and you know that he's done this, then simply provide. And you do so what? Without any strings attached. It's important that when he's called you to provide, when someone's overwhelmed financially, you simply provide and there's no strings attached. This is yours. God is good. And listen, I can't take credit for anything. This is the Lord. And this is his, how much he loves you. And the other thing is this. The last of these things is relational. Sometimes people are overwhelmed with relationships. There is times in the family there's division and people get overwhelmed with division. There's sometimes there's unforgiveness in the family, those kind of things. There's anger in a family, all these things within the family unit. And so the question is when you have issues of relationship and even the church family, I'm not talking just blood family, that sometimes there's brothers and sisters that have problems, how do you deal with it? How do you bear that burden? There's a beautiful passage found in Philippians. Let me just share it with you. Chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Paul is actually giving some wisdom within this, but he says this. He's talking to the brethren, and he makes a statement. He says, I implore Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Two ladies were having an issue. They were just having this issue. And so I want you to get these two, and I want you to say, I need you to be of the same mind. That right now there's a division. There's this relational overwhelming that they can't have forgiveness. They can't see past their own points. And I need someone else to come in and say, listen, you guys need to forgive one another. Because both of us, all of us, we see through a glass darkly. We don't fully understand everything that's going on. And I think it's so important to recognize that we have to offer to help do what? Build better relationships. And why do we do that? Because we've been broken and we've had these same things and God has shown us what? How this division affects us. Because the root of bitterness, it doesn't affect them, it affects you, it affects your walk. And I love it how Hebrews begins to share this, beware lest this root of bitterness come, and it affects you. When that bitterness comes, you cannot rejoice, you cannot worship. 5:9 says, well, blessed are the peacemakers. There's a reason that he says, blessed are the peacemakers, when you try to bring peace into these people that have division. And understand that one of the things about this is what makes sure God has called you. Because otherwise, from having a two-way fight, you're going to have a three-way fight, and that's not good either. But when God has called you and he's gifted you, and you recognize that I can come in and I will not add this fuel to the fire, that I won't be putting in just additional wood chips here so the fire burns more. And so beware, because I won't add kindling to the burning. I'm going to seek to do what? I'm going to quench it with the water of the Word and the water of the Holy Spirit and let that put out the fire. I'm going to bring them back to God and to recognize what? That listen, that you've been forgiven. If you've been forgiven, you shouldn't be holding anything against anybody else. All of us have fallen short. All of us have failed. Not, yes, they have failed you. Yes, you're angry, but I'll tell you what, but forgiveness is so important. You cannot keep this bitterness. You cannot keep this animosity. You cannot keep that within this the division, this anger, this unforgiveness. Because what? Jesus does what? He's taking care of that at the cross. So do you understand that whenever there's a burden, what do? You take their hands, you bring it to Jesus. That's it. Regardless of what it is, there's aspects of it, yes, but you're always bringing them to the Lord. And so that's the example that we have. Who is the great burden bearer? It's Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and our sorrows. He has borne. He's taken the burden. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins on the tree. He's the one who's the real burden bearer. He's the one that says, listen, take my yoke upon you. It's light. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the heavy end. You're going to take a part. Do you understand? It's all about sharing the burden. He's taught us. He's directed us. And so it comes to what? Well, when it comes to this burden, I just love what he begins to do in this passage because he says, bear one another's burden. He makes it so simple. Bear. And what do? You say, well, listen, I'm going to show you how to deal with this. I'm going to give my half to Jesus. And you want to ease up on yours? Give your half to Jesus too, because I can do that. I won't take it upon me personally, but I'm going to take it. I'm going to bring it to the cross. And I'm going to be with you during this. And so the whole issue is this. This fulfills the law of Christ. When you're with them and you're loving them and you're ministering to them and you're leading them to Jesus, guess what you're doing? You're fulfilling the law of Christ. Now, the law of Christ, as we know, is what? It's about the law of love. And so I want you to note something here because this is something that kind of blew me away when I was kind of praying through this. When it talks about fulfilling the law, and I just kind of stopped there. I didn't go to fulfilling the law of Christ. I just stopped and so fulfill the law. Think about that for just a moment. We're in the book of Galatians. And these are the people that he's been writing to that would do what? They believe that they have fulfilled the requirement of the law to earn salvation. I fulfill the law. I deserve salvation. He says, you want to fulfill a law? Fulfill just one. Fulfill the law of Christ. You want to fulfill a law? Fulfill love. And I think it's so important because Paul is teaching that, you know, if you are in the salvation that you've received from God, you're already fulfilling the law by doing one thing, loving. And all these people say, I want to fulfill the law. I want to do the law. He says, listen, you want to do the law? Do the law. Do the law. Do that law of Christ. And I think what's so important, since you desire to fulfill the law of Christ. And so this new law isn't made up of all these different multiple nuances of all these statutes and these observances. But this law is a simple declaration of what? Love as I've loved. Do as I've done. I've given you the example, now you do likewise. And I think it's just so important that if you are so set on placing a burden of a law on yourself, then put the burden of love on yourself. If you want to put a burden on yourself, said, I'm going to put on the burden of law. You should put on the burden of the law, but only one. Put on the burden of love. And then when God leads you to say that the love is going to be in action over someone else who's overwhelmed, I want to be there. So if you're so observing the law, let it be the law of Christ. So rather than placing burdens on others, then what we seek to do is this, bear their burdens. And when it comes to the law of Christ, three verses that you should be very aware of, and they're ones that we've read, one that we've looked at, one that we've studied. But I do want to share you these three verses. If you're a note taker, you have to understand what the law of Christ is. John 13:34 says this, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is it. This is that law of love that he gives to us. In Romans 13, verses 8 through 10, he says here in verse 8, just as his powerful word, he makes this declaration, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. And he goes on, he speaks about the different laws that you have, but he says this with all the commandments that he mentions towards man. He says this in verse 10, love does no harm to his neighbor. And then he does this, for love is the fulfillment of the law. Do you understand that when it comes to all the law, Jesus says there's one that you got to deal with, and that's love. Romans 13 says, listen, if you do the love, you fulfilled all the law. Because what? They're basically, what's the greatest commandment? Well, there's basically one, and the other follows right after it. Love God and what? Love people. On that hinge all the law and the commandments. And so even when we were back here in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 14, remember the passage that we read? He says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So when it comes to the law of Christ, when it comes to this law, there's basically one law you need to look to. John 13:34. New commandment, Romans 13, you know, Galatians 5:14. All the law is fulfilled in one word, love your neighbor as yourself. So when it comes to this, I think it's so important to recognize you so fulfill what? When you bear one another's burden, when you reach out and you're with them, what are you doing? Well, you're kind of doing on a very, very small scale what Jesus did on a very large scale. Remember, he being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he left that position, came down to what? Just hung out with us. And then he took that burden that we couldn't bear, and he said, I will bear that. And he goes to the cross. And he takes that sin and he takes it away so that what? So that you and I can still walk in the Spirit. We can walk in a right relationship. But understand, it's all about what? Bearing the burdens. You take away the things that enable them to walk. So if you're so weighted down, let me take part of it off. Now, I won't take it all. And I won't take it if God hasn't called me. And I won't take it if he hasn't equipped me. But if he has called me and if he has equipped me, guess what? I'll bear the burden. And I will bear it gladly. And I will bear it until he says, now you're done. And this is the heart of it. You just continue. Because we talked about what it is, a commitment. It is one that you have to continue to do these things. So it's just a powerful word that he gives us here in Galatians 6:2, where bear one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And I think this is where we come to this area of just recognizing, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bear it. I'm going to hold on to this. And I'm going to mutually do this, take the weight and take the load until what? Until you recognize that it's been Jesus all the time. And you recognize he's the one that has comforted me. He's used you as an instrument, but it's been Jesus. And so he will use us, but keep in mind, the goal is not to have them look to us. It wasn't to them. If it wasn't them, they did it wrong. Do you understand? It's about pointing you to Jesus. It's about pointing you to his word. It's about pointing you to the hope that is in him. So with that, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Father, we are so grateful for this word, so grateful for your heart. And Lord, this is such an incredible passage. But yet there are balances in your word. There's warnings that you give us. That we're not the one to call to do all things. We're not God, you are. And we only want to be called if you call us. And we want to be equipped through your Spirit if you call us. And we want to be those who are faithful in the calling. And so, Lord, we're just so grateful for just how you direct us. And so, Lord, when you put upon our hearts burdens that people have, teach us to pray. Just teach us to pray. And then teach us to pray further, to ask for wisdom, Lord, if you're calling us or going to gift us to answer these, to be a part of that, to be the one to lift that burden. And so I love your heart. I love your word. And so often, Lord, as Christians, we make so many mistakes. We make things worse than what they should be because we're not following your word. We're not following the leading. We're not following this pattern, Jesus, that you gave to us. And so draw us to your heart, draw us to your word, draw us to this truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.